The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
This is the Wausau Business Show.
You ready?
And now, here are your cow tipping, ice fishing, polka dancing, beer brock frying, cheese curd loving hosts, Ryan and Paul.
Yes, I know I'm going to be. I'm going to be the man who's working hard for you. And when the money comes in for the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home,
when I come home,
I know I'm going to be. I'm going to be the man who comes back home to you. And if I broke, well, I know I'm going to be. I'm going to be.
What's up, Bostonian?
But would you want 500 miles an hour? Would you want 500 more if there'd be a man who walks 1,000 miles to
Good morning, Wausonians.
Good morning.
This is the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And that's the Proclaimers 500 Miles.
Great tune.
Did you watch the Indy 500 last weekend, Paul?
Oh, I did. How exciting.
Yeah, it came down to the last lap of the last turn, and the guy in second won.
Yeah, he overtook first place and won in dramatic fashion.
And Scott Wimmer is not a IndyCar driver, but he did race in NASCAR professionally for a number of seasons.
Wausau's own.
And Scott will be joining us in a couple of weeks on the Wausau Business Show as we go on a road trip over to State Park Speedway.
Love going there. Every summer I do it.
A lot of business rumors going on with State Park Speedway these days. We'll get to the bottom of it in our interview with Scott coming up.
Absolutely.
Feeling great in 98.
Have a good time.
State Park Speedway.
Remember that jingle?
Yeah. I wonder if we can get our hands on that.
Yeah. We got to get that back.
Yeah. So the Wausau Business Show is open for business.
All right.
Here we go. Episode number 9. Nicholas Butler, international best-selling author Nicholas Butler joins us in a little bit.
Yeah.
Also one of Yonkee Bookstore's best-selling authors, one of the oldest bookstores, the oldest bookstore in the state of Wisconsin, and one of the
oldest in the country.
Yeah,
one of the oldest. Sixth oldest
in the country. So we're looking forward to that highly anticipated interview.
Yep.
If you're listening on podcasts, thank you. Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
Thank you.
The Wausau Business Show is kind of a return to work hybrid policy, except the hybrid is between FM and Spotify and Apple, Paul.
Right.
You know, don't get me. I know you don't want to get going on the whole return to work thing because that's sensitive.
Don't get me started.
Any business professional, anybody in business knows that that's a touchy subject.
At parties now, the rule is you don't talk about religion, politics, or work from home policies.
Right, it's the third rail, fourth rail. But how can you build a team without being together as a team? You know?
Yeah.
It's like if the Packers practiced at home and then just met on Sundays to play the game. That wouldn't work. They wouldn't win the Super Bowl.
No, they have to be together.
Hi, Matt LaFleur. Looking forward to meeting you, Matt LaFleur.
Thanks for listening, Matt.
I mean, if you're fast moving and fast growing, you got to be there in real time to feed off each other.
Collaborate with each other.
You can't do that on Zoom. Sorry, Zoom.
Zoom, interestingly enough, was one of the first to require their employees to come back to work, ironically.
Ironically, yeah. You know who can't work from home? Dom in the distribution center.
Dom, we need you, buddy.
You can't remote control a fork truck from home.
OSHA doesn't say that, right.
Red Lobster employees can't work from home. They can't call it in. They have to be there.
They were there when we went there, and they loved it.
Exceptional service.
Yeah.
Because it was in person.
That's right.
That's 100% of the reason why it was exceptional.
And that would have been weird if they remoted in on Zoom and tried to wait our tables.
Yeah. It's 100% action-packed Wausau today, as always.
Yes.
Not a lot of Red Lobster news, or breaking Red Lobster news this week.
Right.
But we do have
Wausau Business Rumors.
So the rumor is, Paul, that Roy from El Tequila Salsa, Roy owns it.
I love that place.
The rumor is that he is moving El Tequila Salsa to a brick-and-mortar, standalone, brand-new restaurant.
Okay, great. I think I like that.
That's the rumor. Okay. Let's go into the field with the mobile microphone and find
out. Get to the bottom of it.
Here we go.
Congratulations on El Tequila Salsa Rib Mountain West, I guess you call that, huh?
We're moving a little bit to the west.
When do you open it?
As soon as possible.
Right? How long is it going to take?
I'm thinking like a baby, 9 months or now. Yeah, hopefully we can do it before. But yeah, I'm excited too. So we're moving this location to over there. It's been almost 16 years we've been paying rent here, which is nothing wrong with that, but gotta keep moving forward. Yeah. So I need some more excitement, like I need it, right?
When are you breaking ground?
We actually did it last week. And we just taking a little bit of time to do some other stuff before we start really solid.
Which construction crew business is doing the construction?
His name is Cody. He's my contractor. Hossauer.
Hossauer,
yeah.
Hossauer. And in relation to Paul. We'll find out.
There you go.
I grew up with a guy named Paul Hossauer. He has since passed, but God rest his soul. What's the actual address? How would you describe the address?
1505-18.
Yeah, right across from Badger Collision, and right before you get to Granite Peak there?
Yep, yeah, before you get to Granite Peak. So.
About a half a mile west, right?
Yes. Yeah, half a mile west of your current location here. It's going to be a standalone establishment, and it'll be great with the Granite Peak guests, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's what we're helping for, because the building will be nice the outside, nice the inside, so my point is people will see us more and then look for in the building and maybe attract them to get inside and give us a try, you know?
Is it going to plan to have a fire pit for the winter for the Granite Peak guests?
I wish, you know what? I would like to build a castle, but I don't have that kind of money. As far as we can get financially.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be great.
Well, thank you for coming on the Wausau Business Show and confirming the rumor that you, it's been confirmed.
Yeah, we can confirm this one.
That you're moving and setting up a whole new building there in Rib Mountain, basically across from Carmelo's in Rib Mountain.
Congratulations, Roy.
Congratulations. Okay, and it's going to take about as long as it takes to incubate a baby in your stomach.
Yeah, well, hopefully it will be one more baby for me later.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. We look forward to coming to your grand opening.
And I want to take this opportunity to say thank you to our loyal customers, friends, and family that come and support us. Without them, we can dream, but we can't make it happen if they don't support us. But thank you.
Will you be closing down then for a period of time to move?
I would don't like to, but it has to happen because we're using the same stuff as in here, like equipment-wise, and moving down there. Yeah. So we'll try to be close a short amount of time, but we will probably.
A couple weeks?
Yeah. If we can make it in a couple weeks, it'll be great.
Okay. Como se dice, thanks for listening to the Wausau Business Show.
En español.
Gracias por escuchar la estación de radio de negocios en Wausau.
Thank you, Roy.
Yeah, great for, Roy. Tequila Salsa, and appreciate the translation of the Wausau Business Show there.
Absolutely.
So coming up, we're going to talk to Nicholas Butler. It takes him about 6 to 18 months with his butt in the seat in front of a computer to write an international bestseller, we learned.
I don't have the patience to do that, I don't think.
He is a very talented individual, and we'll hear all about his career and the business of being a professional author coming up on the Wausau Business Show.
And I think he's going to break some news about some of the things he's going to be writing moving forward as well.
Very cool. And don't forget, this episode marks the unofficial kickoff to summer in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Our favorite time of year to be here in Wausau.
Last week was Memorial Day, so we didn't want to be too celebratory about summer last week.
It would have been preemptive.
Yeah. But this episode is our summer kickoff episode. So today is Saturday, June 1st, 2024. It is the first of the month, Paul.
Whoa.
I think we have to do what Matt Dimmer taught us how to do. Remember during the Chancellor Gibson interview when we talked about Bone Thugs and Harmony and the guy in the Chicago office that I worked in? On the first of the month, no matter what, you could be in a meeting on a phone call, no matter what, he would blast Bone Thugs and Harmony first of the month.
Yes, and if I remember, Chancellor was a big fan.
I think we got to do it.
Let's do it.
I think we got to go into the office, into customer service, and just do it. We have to do it.
They'll be surprised.
Let's go. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go.
Okay. Let's go.
Hold on.
I'm fumbling around here, Ryan.
All right.
We gotta get the speaker. Let's blast it.
Don't you have to hush. Hush.
Okay, here we go. Oh, Sherry's gonna kill us.
You have no idea.
Sherry's just gonna kill us.
Turn it down, you guys.
Sorry, Sherry. Playing Matt Dimmer from a boss on Wabash in Chicago.
Hello, Wausau. This is Matt Dimmer, co-founder of Backyard Tea Makers, calling 715-9-WAUSAU from Chicago. I'm the guy Ryan referred to in his interview with UWSP Chancellor Thomas Gibson, who used to blast First of the Month by Bone Thugs in our office on the first of the month. And hey, it's June 1st, so let's go. The Wausau Business Show will be right back with international best-selling author Nicholas Butler.
Happy June, everybody. Woo!
Yeah.
Watch this.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
The Wausau Business Show.
100% of the proceeds from the Wausau Business Show's following business commercials benefit your community foundation of North Central Wisconsin. For 37 years, your community foundation has granted funds to organizations and projects such as the 400 Block, the Children's Imaginarium, Boys and Girls Club, JoJo's Jungle, and many more to help make our community brighter. Learn more by Googling the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. And now, our esteemed Wausau Business Show sponsors.
In a landscape carved by billion-year-old glaciers sits a community rich with history and opportunity. A base camp to the outdoors and the Northwoods, where miles of rivers tempt paddlers and the fresh scent of pine fills the air on every trail. A base camp to theater, to the arts, experienced through the color of diverse festivals, farm-to-table and craft beverages. A community that prides itself on Midwest nice and knows how to four-season better than any other. Wisconsin's base camp. Visit Wausau.
The Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
Let's get down to business. Let's get down to business.
Wandering Wausau to get the beat on the street.
Here we are on our way to see, it's a Wausau Business Show field trip.
Woohoo!
To Eau Claire to see one of Yankee Bookstore's best-selling authors. As we know, Yankee Bookstore, sixth oldest operating bookstore in the entire United States.
That's correct, and the single oldest in Wisconsin.
And here we go. We're off to see. We're taking a right on Scott Street. Remember Scott Street Steak and Pub, Paul?
Throwback. I love it.
I have a little hit and miss showers here for Mark Hollywood. What would Mark Holly call it, this precipitation activity going on right now in the car on the way to Big Butler?
I think scattered showers because, as you noticed, we're coming in and out of it constantly.
Yeah, well, now the sun's out, but it's still raining. There's got to be a rainbow around here somewhere.
Keep your eyes open.
Kind of getting hungry. We're about halfway there. Do you want to dig into some of those pickled eggs?
Yeah, I was just going to suggest we have pickled eggs in the car. Here, let me grab one real quick.
We're bringing pickled eggs to Nick Butler. That's a cool scene right now. And Shotgun Love Songs.
Right,
don't spill any. Where are they from? Lakeside Foods?
This is Lakeside Foods.
Love Lakeside.
Wisconsin's own.
Yeah.
Very careful.
Don't spill it. Can you drink? You want to take a sip out of that vinegar
sure.
in there? You're literally doing it. Wow. Whoa.
It's sharp.
I was joking. Well, let me.
Well, now it's less shit. Dig in there.
Now I gotta try. I mean, I didn't know you could actually drink that. What is it? Is it pickled? What is it?
It's vinegar, I think.
Okay. Is it exactly. Vinegar is supposed to be healthy for you, is it?
Yeah, a lot of people take a sip of vinegar a day.
Oh!
Yeah, it's it gets you.
That's it. It's very salty. I'm going to take one more swig.
Wow, anything for the show. For Nick Butler, this is for you. It's rough.
Anything for Wausau.
We're doing this for you, Wausau.
Yep. I'm going to get him to autograph these pickled egg cans.
Dig in there.
Is that a glass can or is it
this
plastic?
Is a plastic.
Okay, that's a good pickled egg.
That is a good pickled egg.
Thank you, Lakeside Food.
Yeah, big fan.
Well, thank you, Nicholas Butler. If it wouldn't be for you and Senior Road and Shotgun Love Songs, I don't think we would. Well, I know that we wouldn't be eating pickled eggs right now.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I'm Steve Croft.
I'm Leslie Stahl.
I'm Ryan Gallagher.
I'm Bob Simon.
I'm Paul Grinsley.
I'm Warren Wilson.
I'm Scott Pellet.
Those stories and Andy Root tonight on 60 Minutes.
Wausau Business Show. Broadcasting from Wausau, Wisconsin. The city credited by executive producer and founder of 60 Minutes, Don Hewitt. Helping 60 Minutes get its national start on the CBS Television Network.
Welcome back to the Wausau Business Show, and now we have international best-selling author Nicholas Butler.
Thanks for having me.
Go by Nick or Nicholas?
What Nick is just fine.
Okay, great. Now we are here on your 16-acre farm with buffaloes roaming in the background.
It's beautiful.
Chickens gobbling? What do chickens do?
Cluck.
Cluck?
Cluck.
Okay,
there you go.
Good. Man of language. So, Nick, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name's Nick Butler. I'm 44 years old. We're here in my house south of Eau Claire. I'm married. I've got two kids,
and a lot of friends. We had the privilege of going out to dinner with Nick and Nick Gulig last night, who's Wisconsin's poet laureate, and you've known each other your whole lives.
Pretty much our whole adult lives.
Yeah.
And since 12 or 13, yeah.
Wow. We were talking about how cool that was because it provided a lot of extra texture to who you are as an individual.
Yeah, the interaction between you two and riffing off each other, that was pretty fun. Yeah.
Well, he's, you know, I mean, we just don't, we've never taken each other very seriously. And at the same time, I don't think there's another person in my life that understands my life path the way that he does. We both went to the Iowa Writers Workshop. Mm-hmm. We've both been committed to writing since we were teenagers. So, you know, I harass him all the time and he gives it back to me. But at the end of the day, I'm super grateful to have him as a friend because he's the one person I can talk to about a lot of stuff that nobody, I can't talk to other people.
Yeah, it's clear
about.
You guys are tight. Yeah, that's great to have a lifelong friend like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wrote a great article when he became the Poet Laureate of Wisconsin in Wisconsin People and Ideas. If people want to check that out, it's all about your relationship and it was very touching. So Shotgun Love Songs is a best-selling book that's going to be optioned as a movie. This was your first novel that came out on St. Martin Press. Mm-hmm. And it's been met with wild success globally. It's printed in 10 different languages.
Wow. 10.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 10. I counted. How did this start?
There's no quick way to really say it, but back in 2010, I got accepted to the Iowa Writers Workshop. My wife and our oldest son, we were living in Madison. And so we just thought we would all move to Iowa City together. And we're all big book people and readers. And we thought that would be like an amazing time to be a young family in Iowa City. My wife had graduated in the top 10 people of her law school class, and she went to interview at firms in Iowa City. But once they found out that the reason we were there in Iowa City was because of my grad school, they didn't want to hire her because they just assumed we would only be there for 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. So she got a very good job in Minneapolis. We moved to a suburb of the Twin Cities, and every Monday night I'd drive down to Iowa City, and every Thursday night I'd drive back. So it was this very lonely time for me. I was away from my wife. We'd been married and together forever. I was away from my young son. I was, you know, like a grown ass man in a apartment, you know, for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think I just felt really homesick for Eau Claire and for Wisconsin and for my friends, my family. And that homesickness is kind of at the center of this book, like just all the things that I loved about rural Wisconsin that I couldn't have.
Yeah,
you know,
it definitely comes through in the emotion of the book. Would you be cool reading a little part of this?
Sure.
for the listeners on page 260 here?
Sure.
About the pickled eggs.
Yeah.
Just give people a sense of your literary voice.
A group of perhaps 4 or 5 women, all in their 50s and 60s, gathered around him as those first piano notes started to be bucked up with the drums and the electric bass, as that classic piece of Americana slid underway. And then he winked at me, motioned toward the jar, and sure as Joyce was watching him from the far side of the bar, her back turned to me. And there I was, back behind the bar on tiptoes for no good reason, smiling the faintest hint of a smile that I couldn't nearly help, and closer to that absurd, gigantic jar of pickled eggs, thinking, this is really stupid. What in the hell are you doing? And all the while, the jukebox choir sang along. I was a lonely teenage bronc and buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. But I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. Then Lee pointing at me as he nodded to the beat, mouthing, now, 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 get that jar. And Lee really putting on a show, really distracting them by knocking over glasses of beer, pushing over pool cues, squeezing the asses of a few over-the-hill barflies. And me, my arms around the jar as if tackling a giant, my knees bent so wide so as not to blow out my back, and lifting it, lifting that damn thing like it was an Olympic event. Off the bar and there in the space where it sat, look, the wood there, a completely different shade of mahogany and with a great thick halo of dust to mark its old resting spot. And now Leland smiling broadly at me, clapping his hands and the eggs obscenely sloshing in their jar, and Lee breaking ranks, still singing, stumbling to the door and out into the night. We went, two egg thieves, giggling crazily, stupidly, heartbroken, 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 going, gone into the misty Wisconsin night with nowhere to go and a giant jar of pickled eggs between us.
Love that.
There we were, pickle thieves.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, Nick, we brought you some gifts. Obviously, we keep bearing gifts. We brought a couple of jars of pickled eggs here from Lakeside Foods.
Nope. Thank you.
I'm sorry we ate some on the way over, but
we couldn't help ourselves.
But you come back to that scene in the latter part of the book, and I don't know. I thought we could enjoy these if we need to snack during the interview.
Sure.
Here. How is the that was an awesome scene, and you come back to it later.
So well written too. Yeah. I mean, it's
obviously
very descriptive.
What was the process like when? So you had written this book, mm-hmm. and then you got picked up. How does that work? You had the transcript.
Yeah. So Iowa is a really strange. Going to the Iowa Writers Workshop is a strange experience for everyone. But one of the things that is great about it is it gives you access to the broader literary world.
Can you describe real quick what the Iowa Writers Workshop is?
Yeah. So it's the oldest master's granting creative arts program in the world. And it's considered to be the best program in the world. It's more difficult to get into the Iowa Writers Workshop than Harvard Law. Mm. The year that I got in was a really difficult year. I think there were 1,300 applicants for 25 spots. Wow. And I think James Franco applied that year and they didn't let him in.
Sorry, James.
Sorry, James.
Avid listener.
But it's a wonderful place too, because Iowa City is a city that cares a lot about books and writers and, on every street corner, not every street corner, I don't want to exaggerate, but you can stand on your average street corner in Iowa City and just hear somebody talking about the book that they just read or a book that they want to read, which is, I think, quite unique anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And in that program, I learned a lot so quick. I got to sort of contextualize what the business of publishing was going to look like. Mm-hmm. And the first year there, I had a bunch of interviews with agents,
because that's the first year.
Yeah,
well, the agents basically
come to kind of scout out talent. But the frustrating thing was I met with all these agents and nothing ever happened. So I liken it to like going on blind dates with somebody that you really want to be with who kind of is just on the date just to kick tires almost. And I thought, I'm not going to do that rejection again. So
yeah, that's got to be an emotional letdown.
It was horrible because I kept thinking, well, what happens when I'm done with school and I go back to, Eau Claire or whatever, how am I going to get access to these agents? I was so close.
Yeah. And you were thinking, I'm going to have to go back to the coffee shop.
Yeah. So in the middle of my program, I just decided, screw that. I'm not going to worry about agents anymore. I'm just going to worry about my short stories. And I got really lucky. I placed three short stories in big journals. And then I had agents calling me wanting to pursue me. And that's
how tables turned at that point.
They did. Yeah. And I found my agent that way. And I was super focused on coming out of that program, not just with the degree, but with books that I could sell, because I felt like my wife had sacrificed so much, as a family, we'd given up a lot. And I said, well, what would be your ideal scenario? Like timing wise, when do you need a manuscript? How are we going to sell this?
This is you talking to the agent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Made sure I really understood what he wanted. And, I followed his instructions and the fall of 2012, he took it out like on a Friday afternoon, he sent it to 25 publishers in New York. And by Monday we had so much interest that we had to set up an auction, which is kind of the ideal scenario. And a bunch of publishing houses bid against one another to get it. And then the next day it sold in England and Germany and France. And then
the next day.
Yeah. It was kind of bananas.
Tuesday.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, actually, I mean, the whole process maybe took 2 weeks because I was talking to publishers and stuff, but after the auction went down, all these other dominoes kind of fell, and it was my dream come true.
I mean, yeah, life changing event.
So you, absolutely. Yeah. How does that happen? You get a phone call, you get an email, and then you go out to dinner with your wife, or what did you do?
We did. Yeah. I can't remember exactly whether it was a phone call. You'd think I would remember that. But what I remember is going out to dinner with my wife and our son, Henry, who was, you know, at that time, I guess he would have been 2. Mm. And we went to a nice restaurant in St. Paul, and we were all seated at the bar because we had no reservation. And my wife said to me, "I can't believe you did it." And it wasn't that she couldn't believe that I had accomplished what I wanted to, but I think what she was saying was she'd known me for so long.
Because you went to a high school. Did you go to grade school with her too?
Yeah. So she just knew me so well, and she'd seen how long the journey was. And for her to say, like, "I can't believe you did it," was just like, you know, what I remember.
Yeah.
You
like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. It was amazing. And I couldn't have done it without her either. Yeah.
And then you became a professional author, I guess, at that moment.
I did. Yeah. I've been really lucky for the last, I've been doing it. It's been my only job since I've been 32, and I'm 44 now.
And we're talking with Nicholas Butler, best-selling author of Shotgun Love Songs. He's written, I want to get into, so the egg scene, Nick, it was great. But I got one more scene, if you could read.
Sure.
And we brought you these pickled eggs. Are you a fan of pickled eggs? Or?
You know, I wasn't before that book got published, I wasn't. Uh-huh. And then I kind of developed a taste for it. I have some in my refrigerator.
Yeah, they're great. They taste delicious. Okay, so this is a scene out of Godspeed. Mm-hmm. And it's on, let's play a little game here if we can. Sitting on the tiny bed, he loaded his pipe, touched the lighter beneath the glass bowl, watched the crystal begin to smoke, then brought the pipe to his lips and inhaled. Nick, you wrote this book. You're well acquainted with every page. What page number is that?
Well, you're 75% of it way through it. I'm going to guess that's 299.
Oh, okay. 234. 234.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I didn't know if that was something that you had memorized.
If he had them all memorized, every page of every one of his books.
Could you read the next part of that?
Yeah.
This is great.
Is he in the trailer at that point?
Yeah, construction trailer where he and his buddies who own a construction business have basically had to kind of sack out in there because they're working on a house around the clock.
In Jackson Hole, and they get six figures if they get it done in time.
Right. Yeah. Nobody's ever... So there's some swearing here. Is that okay?
I know where the censorship button is for the FCC.
Okay. All right. But there's a lot you're going to have to censor.
We picked a good one.
But so they couldn't get this house done, or they wanted to get this house done in time because the person that was building it, the woman that was building this mansion in Jackson Hole, this beautiful mansion on this gorgeous plot of property, hired these guys to get it done. And she said, "I'll give you six figures if you get it done in time." And so one of the guys starts taking up crystal meth to stay up around the clock to get it done. And so he's in the trailer getting ready to smoke his crystal meth.
Yeah, you set that up nicely. Okay, so... Mm-hmm. His skull for a moment felt as if it might flee his shoulders like a rocket, like a blasting rocket, like a Saturn missile. Oh, his bones could feel every one of them, every one of his bones, like they were people in a village. That was him and his hairs, each of those, the hairs, like trees in a forest, for example, or individual strands of grass, beautiful blades of grass, swords of grass on the prairie, but his skin was the prairie and his hair was the grass on the prairie. He stopped. Blue in his right forearm. Now he felt the wind coming down from the Rocky Mountains, racing down from the Rocky Mountains, down over the foothills and through the cities, down through the wide avenues and canyons of steel and glass, out onto the prairie and caressing those leaves of grass, those prairie grasses, hundreds of miles. His body, could it be that his body was the prairie, this biome, this prairie, all kissed by stormy lightning and then erased by wildfire? But he itched those fires right out. He stopped, breathed. I think I'll stop there. Is that okay?
I got goosebumps.
Yeah. That scene right there, I was reading it on a plane.
No.
And it made me feel what it was like to inhale meth. And I remember,
that's powerful.
Yeah, I got goosebumps and I was like, my skin was crawling when I read that.
Yeah.
And I wrote Nick a note after that. And I said, you've changed the way I look at pickled eggs and meth.
Mm. Did we bring any meth? I know we brought pickled eggs.
We brought pickled eggs. We did not bring meth. Thank God. But that was beautifully done, Nick. Thanks. You. Yeah. Who's a better tennis player, you or your wife?
Ooh, good question.
Me. Not even close.
Not even close. Did you play high school tennis?
No. I wish I had. No.
Picked it up later.
You yeah. not even close? Yeah. Regina is going to listen to this. Is she going to agree?
That's fine. I
stands by.
Hands
it.
Down.
Take her right now with the leg brace on.
You've got a bummed up leg. Tell everybody what happened to your leg, please.
Oh, I just had this long, this like old football injury in my knee. And I could deal with it for years and then decades. And then I took up tennis and just began to be in a world of hurt every night. And so right now, as I sit here, I've got a leg brace on. I'm supposed to be using crutches. I can't do what I want to do.
But frustrating.
Yeah.
But frustrating. You'd kick Regina's butt.
I think I still could.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. There's many things she could defeat me at. Many, probably most things, but
not that. So Shotgun Love Songs and Godspeed, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're optioned as movies. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So at the moment, Godspeed is being, how would you say this? How would the Hollywood language be?
It says under development.
Yeah, it's under development by a kind of a big time producer. I'm not sure if I'm like allowed to say his name, but he's done many TV shows that you would have watched or at least heard of. So I'm hopeful that that gets developed. Shotgun Love Songs has been optioned two or three times by different people. It is not currently under development, but The Hearts of Men is optioned by, I think I can say, David E. Kelly, who's
pretty
prominent producer.
Oh, yeah, David E. Kelly has done...
Ally McBeal and Boston Legal, and he did Goliath, which I think is on Amazon with Billy Bob Thornton.
Wonderful.
The Lincoln Lawyer, he did that as a TV show.
He knows what he's doing.
So, yeah. So, you know, it's very difficult to have anything made. Many books get optioned, but it's difficult to get them made into a movie.
Well, I got a question for you. One thing you do have control over, all your books, huge fan base. People probably want to hear more. Any sequels in the making?
I'm working on a sequel to Shotgun Love Songs right now.
Oh.
Yeah, which has been, if I cared more about making money and always making the strategic choice, I would have written this sequel many years ago. But I've always written about what I wanted to write about. And I also felt like that sequel needs to be written perfectly. Like you can't just write a sequel to write a sequel.
Right.
Like that's not fair to the readers. It's not fair to the characters that I care about. So for the longest time, I felt really nervous about that project. And then this spring, I was like, I guess it's time.
Did anything particular happen to draw you back into it?
I think what happens is that I have so many ideas for different books at any given time that I sort of, when I'm ready to start working on a new project, I kind of hold those projects metaphorically in my hand and kind of see which one is more attractive. And then I just kind of follow my gut. And then, so for the past, 10 years or so, there was always another project that just felt like it was more what I needed to do at that time.
More attractive.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're going to have a lot of fans that are really happy to hear that you're writing that. You kind of described your writing process a little bit there. It starts with ideas. How do you get these ideas?
I listen to people. I think everybody's got a story to tell.
Oh.
And when you're at a party or a dinner, they will tell you a story, and what they're trying to communicate is who they are or where they've come from or how they've experienced success or whatever it is. And you can choose to either not pay attention or discard their story, or you can tune in and really pay close attention to those stories. And my antenna goes right up. When somebody is, you know, earnestly telling me a story, I pay attention. And sometimes if it's a good story, I'll say, stop. you know that you're telling a writer a story right now. Right. So like, this isn't yours anymore.
Yeah.
Do you want to stop?
Right.
And most of the time people just keep going. And that's where, you know, Godspeed came from, a personal anecdote like that.
Yeah. Maybe talk about that. Cause
Godspeed came around cause a family, after we finished building this house in 2014, a family friend who works in construction came over to look at it. And he had been working on a multi-million dollar house outside of Eau Claire. And I think the homeowner felt like the crew had slipped behind whatever perceived deadline she had. So she got everybody together and said, if you guys can finish this house in the next 3 weeks, I think it was, I'll give you all individually a $15,000 bonus. And my friend said to me, Nick, if I had all the meth in the world, I couldn't have finished that house in 3 weeks. And I thought, whoa, like, A, he thought about it.
Yeah.
B, he thought that maybe using crystal meth would be the way keep working.
Nuts.
You know, had he ever used crystal meth? All these questions. Right. Why did that homeowner need to do that? Mm-hmm. Where is the money coming from where you can just issue everybody a $15,000 check? Right. And so I kind of sat on the idea for a little while. And then we took a family trip to Yellowstone, came down through Jackson. And I was pretty naive. I was like, well, what a quaint mountain town. You know, if things don't work out in Eau Claire, maybe we could settle down here. And then I started looking at real estate and was like, how does anyone live here?
Right. Yeah.
And that opened up another set of questions. Like, how are you a middle-class person or a lower middle-class person living in some of these, you know, exclusive communities in America?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who's building the houses? Who's pouring coffee? Who's doing stuff like that? And it allowed me to kind of, up the ante in terms of stakes for the novel. Instead of a $15,000 bonus, it became hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Because the book is based in Jackson.
Because the book is based in Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Do you just write one book at a time?
I try to write one at a time. It's a little bit like if you're a fan of the NFL, if you have more than one starting quarterback, you don't have any starting quarterbacks. Yeah. Okay. And so I feel like if you're writing multiple books, it's hard enough to write one book. If you're writing multiple books, you're kind of fraying your attention a little too much, I think.
And I wanted to get back to the movie options. Yeah. So you said a lot of things are optioned by authors all the time. Do you get paid when things get optioned?
Yeah. Normally, you know, I don't. Yeah, normally this kind of lovely check falls out of the heavens like once a year or once every 18 months, something like that, for the life of the option, which tends to be between like a year and 3 years.
And that just gives them exclusivity basically to shop it. Is that what that is?
Well, there's different like sort of nuances there. If in fact they own the rights, if they own the option rights, then they're kind of saying, we are the ones who are going to make this film.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's another thing that you can do, which is kind of like what's happening with Godspeed, why I didn't say that it had been optioned exactly, is that that producer has what's called like a shopping agreement.
Okay.
So we trust that he's so powerful and can get stuff done that we didn't make him pay the option up front. We just said, we're going to trust you for a period of time to try to make something happen.
Okay.
So there's just different,
and nuances. How much say do you have in that? Because you've written these beautiful novels. Obviously, you care about them. You care about the characters you mentioned before.
Yeah.
How much influence or sway do you have on the actual movie making process and kind of what people see in the theaters?
Very little.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm at a point in my career where I've had a lot of success, but I could have more success. That would be all right if I sold more books. So I think at this point in my career, I'm kind of like pretty hands off. Mm-hmm. And
go get it done, guys.
Yeah. I was at a meeting with some Hollywood bigwigs back in 2014 who had optioned Shotgun, you know, and I think I asked what their vision for the movie was or who they wanted to play a certain character. And they told me, and we were at breakfast, and I just put my head down on the table and stopped like looking at people, you know, and then I realized I was being rude and carried on. But I wouldn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
It was just like, I thought their vision for the movie was
wrong.
Not what I would. Guess I couldn't handle it in the moment, but.
Well, I hope they do whenever it gets done. I hope they do it justice. You know, thanks. Do you need more coffee here?
Sure.
I see you looking at your here.
Nick was nice enough to brew us some coffee, and he's a bit of a coffee expert. Isn't that right?
What are we drinking there?
This is from, I think it's called Utopia Roasters in Indiana. I got turned on to them by a website called The Coffee Review, which I don't know if it's still run by Ken Davids, but he reviews coffees and then scores them on a 100-point
scale.
Yeah. And yeah, this is a Sumatran. My wife and I are big fans of Sumatran coffee. It, you know, normally has kind of a earthy or a dirty flavor profile, which we kind of like. But
I like it.
It tastes great.
Yeah.
So we're talking with Nick Butler, best-selling author of many, many books. One of the best-selling authors in Wausau as well at Yonke Bookstore, which is the sixth oldest bookstore in America.
The whole nation.
Shotgun Love Songs is about a guy from a made-up small town called Little Wig and Lee, who breaks out and makes it huge as a global phenomenon musician and award-winning musician that then comes back to town to visit here and there. Obviously, it begs the question, there was an eight-year period that you've talked about in your writings where people graduate a certain eight-year period where people graduated, and it was a highly creative time in Eau Claire and at Memorial High School. And one of those people was Justin Vernon. So obviously people are always asking, and we have to ask, you know, the connection with Justin.
Yeah.
Who is
Bon Iver.
Bon Iver. There we go.
I never get it right.
Yeah.
but I love the music.
So I think I told you before that this is a book, a novel that cares a lot about place, and that was conceived because I was super homesick. And you can't really tell the story of Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley, without talking about Justin and his success. And it would maybe be different if Justin was a bad person, but he's a really good person by any measure.
You graduated in 98. He graduated in 99.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, he was a good person back in high school. I see him occasionally now. He's a force of good now. Yeah. His parents have been supportive of my books. All just to say, I'm not so bullheaded that I think I could conceptualize artistic success if there wasn't somebody like Justin from my community who had found it.
Right.
Because the Eau Claire that we grew up with was more about, you know, Uniroyal tires,
right,
or becoming a teacher or becoming a lawyer or a doctor. Those were measures of like, you can do that. That's a successful roadmap. There weren't any successful novelists that I knew of at that time.
Right.
So I think like, yeah, part of telling my story was kind of talking a little bit about his. Obviously, that character is inspired by Justin.
Right.
It's not based on Justin. Right. I don't know any. It's not like we're best friends and I knew a ton of secret information. I knew what everybody who reads Rolling Stone or something might know, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And Justin did not grow up in a tiny farming town. He went to Eau Claire Memorial with me, you know. I mean, he's never been married. The Lee gets married and divorced.
Right.
So there's a lot of, you know, he's never been shot in the leg as far as I know. So there's
a great last scene.
Yeah. A lot of differences, but
You have to ask.
Of course.
What's the best compliment you've ever received as an author as we get ready to wrap up here?
Jeez. God, that's a good question.
We try.
Well, I mean, you just asked about Justin, so I'll say that, you know, he texted me not so long ago and he said, I think it was just a picture of his dad down in Key West reading one of my books.
Cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then he said, you know, can I give your information to my dad? He wants to write you something. And he then wrote me a very nice text where he compared my writing to, you know, like Thomas McGoyne and some of these other kind of American masters that I think highly of. And that happened recently. That was really nice.
Yeah, coming from somebody that's, you know, a wild artistic success.
Yeah. And the Vernon family is very artistic. You know, Gil, the dad, is really a well-read, super smart man. So that meant a lot to me. And, you know, they didn't have to be supportive of what I'd done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could have taken a totally different tact, but they didn't. They were always kind and knew that I had written the book for the right reasons. And so like getting positive feedback from people like that means a lot to me.
So your wife, two kids, what did your mom and dad do growing up?
My dad owned his own business. He was a manufacturer sales rep. So he would, you know, like represent rope companies and go to Menards and say, hey, you want to take on this product or whatever it was. He got into warehousing later in his career in import exporting. And my mom was his like bookkeeper, to say nothing of the fact that she was our primary caretaker because my dad was not.
He was busy doing his thing.
And your dad, like mine, recently passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
We're part of the Dead Dads Club, as we talked about last night.
Right, yeah.
I have one question about your writing style that I think is interesting.
Yeah.
Shotgun Love Songs is written in first person.
Yes.
With different characters, which is really cool. That was kind of new to me, and I found that wonderful. It was a hard book to put down. Yeah. Godspeed is written in third person. Is that correct?
Yeah,
how do you make that decision?
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
We try.
And it's not easy to answer. You have to, I think for me, part of it is a challenge. Mm. Like if I've written something in first person, then perhaps I don't want to write the next book in first person.
Okay.
I think third person is a little bit more elegant on the page. I feel that way. I'm not judging other people's books. That's just how I feel. So sometimes I want to achieve that kind of, I don't know, elegance or shoot for it. I feel like the benefit of a first person is that you feel very close to the character.
Mm-hmm.
And in a book like Shotgun Love Songs, which is all about love and friendship, I think that pays dividends, you know. Also, because you've got rotating first person perspectives, everyone kind of shines a light on everyone else.
Yeah, so you're the voice of five characters, I think, right? Yeah. It's really a fascinating approach.
Like, how does it work? Do you do an outline of your book?
No, I think the quick answer is no. Mm. With Shotgun Love Songs, I had all these different chapters written from different first-person perspectives, but I didn't actually totally know what the arc of the story was. So I would print off all the chapters and then lay them here on this table when we were living in St. Paul and kind of lay out the trajectory of the book. And sometimes there were holes and then I'd realize, okay, I need to write that chapter. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the same narrator had two chapters that were too close together. Well, I couldn't have that. I needed to break it up more. So oftentimes what happens is I know the beginning of the book, the opening scene and the end, but I don't know any of the stuff in between. And I take notes now. I feel like my memory is not what it once was, so I'm taking more notes, but I don't really outline ever.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you take a lot of pride, obviously, in being from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Wisconsin tradition?
Well, I mean, I'm here in
you're wearing Packers, a Packer gear. I love
Packers
it.
Garb. I don't know. I mean, for me, like having a 14-year-old son who just breathes sports information and statistics. We love watching the Packers together.
Amen.
I wish I could go to Lambeau more. It's on the wrong side of the state for us, but
Wausau's halfway.
You could
stop in and say hi to us and say hi to everyone in Wausau.
Feel free to pitch
But I think like the Packers are a really wonderful thing that we don't have to share it, but I think it kind of makes it easier to get through winter when you do have that as a kind of an outlet or a distraction, you know?
What are your thoughts on Quick Trip?
Speaking of Wisconsin traditions.
Are they a sponsor?
No.
No, you can be honest. Go ahead.
Oh, Quick Trip always has clean bathrooms and pretty good cheap food.
Yeah, they have a rabid fan base.
Yeah. We found that they have an unusually rabid fan base for a convenience store / gas station.
Yeah. Have you noticed that?
I think so too. Yeah. I mean, it feels like they're aggressively expanding constantly. Yeah. I'm surprised at the amount of stores that they have.
I think they're from La Crosse, not Eau Claire, right?
La Crosse, yeah.
What are Eau Claire, what are people from Eau Claire called? Is it Eau Clairians?
Hmm.
Like Wausau people are called Wausonians.
I would just say cool.
Yeah. Do you have a library card?
Yes, of course.
I noticed that you had some books that you're...
Yeah.
Do you ever get any overdue fees?
My wife... No, I don't. I don't because I... for one, although I have a library card and I enjoy using the library, we have a wonderful library, the L.E. Phillips Memorial Library. I think because I make my living selling books, I am more apt to buy books because I know what it means to the artist.
Yeah.
And also I think of books as being pretty sacred. So like I want to spend my time with them. If I like the book, I want to own the book, the actual object. But we are such a voracious reading family that Like, we need the library because
that's awesome.
You know, okay. My daughter just reads so much, like, we'd be bankrupt mm-hmm. otherwise.
Okay. You wouldn't have room to do anything else because right. there would be books all over
yes.
everywhere.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so we're talking with Nicholas Butler, bestselling author and coffee connoisseur. Nick, before we leave here at your beautiful 16 acre farm, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the interview. I appreciate it.
Thanks for dinner. Dinner last night was great.
That's a great spot.
Paul had his favorite potatoes that he's ever had.
The steak was great, but the potatoes were amazing.
Come for the steak, stay for the potatoes.
Kill you with peanuts.
Yeah, they didn't kill me with peanuts, which I appreciate personally.
What was that place called? Jimmy's or Johnny's?
Johnny's.
Yeah. Really nice place there.
Yeah.
Rapid fire quick here. Favorite song of all time?
Oh my God. Impossible to answer, but off the top of my head, I'll say The Weight by The Band.
Cool. Nice. Yeah, great.
Take a load off Annie. Take a load for free. And you put the load right on
me. Oh, I like that rendition.
Thank you. Favorite movie?
The forthcoming. Again, impossible to answer, but I would say, like, off the top of my head, you know, Rushmore, Shawshank Redemption, Bull Durham.
Great ones.
Yeah.
Favorite food?
Impossible
to answer.
Impossible to answer.
These are the hardest questions we've asked, actually.
You know what? I mean, like, my favorite kind of comfort food would be like Italian stuffed shells, like a manicotti type thing. I love my wife's lasagna. Mm. I love food. I mean,
yeah, you've got a great kitchen here, man.
Yeah, beautiful kitchen.
Yeah.
With amazing view.
Your favorite thing about Wausau, Wisconsin?
You have a beautiful downtown. You have a great record store. You've got a great bookstore, independent bookstore.
Yankee. Oldest bookstore in the state of Wisconsin.
Rib Mountain, as you approach Wausau, or what's it called now? Is it still called Rib Mountain?
The place is called Rib Mountain, but the skier is called Granite Peak.
We call it our mountainous hometown of Wausau, right. Wisconsin.
No, I mean, the topography around Wausau is different. Like, if you know the state of Wisconsin, mm-hmm. it's different. Mm-hmm. The geology is a little different there. The mm-hmm. rocks that you're seeing are different.
Oldest rocks on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know. Shout out to the record store and bookstore.
Yeah.
Say that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Favorite book? Have to ask. Favorite book of your life?
Impossible to answer, but the one I've been thinking about lately, which has been something of a mainstay in my life, would be The Old Man and the Sea by Hemingway.
Mm, cool.
I feel like Hemingway is sort of a punching bag for a lot of people, but I was thinking the other day that that book is so timeless. And it really doesn't matter what your political persuasion is or where you live, or if you give that book a fair chance, it's impossible not to enjoy, and it's unforgettable. It's just a perfect book.
Great series, miniseries on PBS a couple of years ago about Hemingway.
Yeah.
Well, this has been the Wausau Business Show Impossible Question segment of the show with Nick Butler, bestselling author. Well, thanks for your time, Nick. This has really been an honor to speak with you.
Yeah, we're big fans.
Best of luck in the future.
Super nice to meet you both.
It's been great spending time with you. Godspeed.
Godspeed.
Thanks, Nick.
Nicholas Butler, everybody.
Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, and do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? Day that I die.
Transmitting from the top of Rib Mountain State Park, this is the one and only Wausau Business Show.
If I had asked, what does meth do to your brain? Does meth make you hear voices? Or if I asked, can't you just stop doing meth? My mom wouldn't be asking.
Oh, God, what did you do? Honey!
Yeah.
Oh, don't wait, honey, no!
What do you know about meth? Visit www.projectmeth.org to learn more. www.projectmeth.org.
At Rooterware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at rooterware.com.
If it's been a while since you've eaten crab legs, let Red Lobster remind you how. Right in the middle. That's right. It pays to dig deep. Dip that sweet, delicate meat into rich melted butter. There you go. Now, if you'd like more practice, we know where you can get plenty. Red Lobster's serving them tonight. Lots of them.
Red Lobster for the seafood lover in you.
You're tuned in to the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
All right, here's a little known fact. The first mayor of Wausau was August Kickbush. Here's a littler known fact. He was mayor twice. Littlest known fact, Kickbush traveled back to Germany in 1867 to enlist 700 German immigrants to Marathon County. So if anyone ever asks you how you'd get more people to move to Wausau, just ask yourself, what would Kickbush do? Because he'd go to Germany and bring back 700 people. That's what he'd do. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Get to Germany. Roastar.com.
What kind of name is Incredible Bank? Hey, we get it. It's an unusual name. But our name isn't about us. It's about you. It's our promise to you to provide an incredible customer experience with every interaction, so you can continue to do what makes you incredible. Incredible Bank, the bank for incredible people. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey folks, this is Charlie Behrens. Our Cripes Cast is coming up at noon on Bull Falls Radio. Now back to the Wausau Business Show with your cheese curd brained hosts, Ryan and Paul, served with a nice side of ranch dressing. All right, Wausau, I love you so much. I'll be back soon, and hey, watch for deer, okay? Bye-bye now.
Full time, you talk your money up, but it's living in a cold.
This is the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
That was a fabulous interview, Paul, if I do say so.
I loved every second of it.
For Wausonians.
Yes.
Nick is a great guy.
Great guy.
It was a real honor.
Real talent.
Getting to know him. Yeah. So one quick thing about Red Lobster. We're doing a survey, a new survey on WausauBusiness.com.
Yep.
About Wausonians' favorite restaurants in general, locally owned, part of it.
Right.
And then the second part is going to be the follow-up, Wausonians' favorite national chain restaurants.
Who do you want to come here?
Right. And in the spirit of Red Lobster, we have been informed that there may be some Wausonians that are willing and interested to get a tattoo of Red Lobster.
Red Lobster, that's dedication.
They wanted to say Wausau on the bottom of the Red Lobster logo.
Right. Okay. We can take the question mark off of it then.
True solidarity. Kind of a presumptive close, if you will.
Right.
For those of you sales professionals listening. And if anybody listening right now would actually like a Red Lobster tattoo, marked up tattoos in the Old Western Village. Is it still called the Old Western Village?
Like, as when far as I know.
Bruisers used to be there, yeah, remember?
The nightclub.
Yeah. Marked Up Tattoos has offered to do these tattoos. And he is a professional.
Wow.
I heard he took a class from David Anthony Hummer once, actually.
No kidding.
He's got to be good.
He's an artist.
Just email us, info@wausaubusiness.com, info@wausaubusiness.com, if you'd like to participate in the tattooing.
There'll be a bunch of Wausonians running around with Red Lobster tattoos before we know it.
Can't wait. Put it somewhere on your body where people can see it, okay?
Maybe not the face, though.
Like Post Malone?
Yeah.
All right, next week on the show, who do we got, Paul?
Next week, we have Tyler Vogt on the show.
We are going to be at the Westsider, and that'll be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be kind of like work from home, but it'll be work from the Westsider.
And Tyler's a great guy. He owns Malarkey's, he owns Townies, and he owns the new West Sider, which is right across the street from Jerry's Music.
Yeah, and he's passionate about keeping Wausau great and moving forward.
Looking forward to that.
Speaking about being passionate, we have a couple of events planned this summer, as we kick off summer, that we can't forget about.
August Kickbush. That's happening Saturday, August 10th, in collaboration with the United Way at the 400 block. We will be kicking cans of bush
fun
in a competition worth cash prizes. So learn more about that coming up. Before we go, special thanks to Wausau Business Show Associate Producer and Vice President of Sales, Matthew Michael Hahn.
Thanks, Matt. And our voracious reader friend and coworker, Lizzie.
Don't call me Liz Paul. Both helped us prep for our time with Nick, and it wouldn't have been as good without them.
They were instrumental. Yeah.
So the unofficial kickoff to summer has begun with the Wausau Business Show. Wausonians, enjoy that sunshine.
Summer's here!
And from high atop Rib Mountain, that big glorious stick up there.
Stick is what we call it in the business.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission.
The end!
This has been a Wausau Business Show Transmission. Allreits reserviert 2024.